today we are focusing on the theme of priorities. And our scripture is from the prophet Micah, who reminds us of what God's priorities are. And we might picture, as we read this passage from Micah chapter 6, the setting of a courtroom, and God is bringing a case against his people, Israel. So hear the word of the Lord through Micah. Hear what the Lord is saying. Arise, lay out the lawsuit before the mountains. Let the hills hear your voice. Hear, mountains, the lawsuit of the Lord. Hear, eternal foundations of the earth. The Lord has a lawsuit against his people. With Israel he will argue. My people, what did I ever do to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of slavery. I sent Moses, Aaron, and Miriam before you. My people, remember what Moab's king Balak had planned, and how Balaam, Beor's son, answered him. Remember everything from Shittim to Gilgal, that you might learn to recognize the righteous acts of the Lord. With what should I approach the Lord and bow down before God on high? Should I come before him with entirely burned offerings, with year-old calves? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with many torrents of oil? Should I give my oldest child for my crime, the fruit of my body for the sin of my spirit? He has told you, O people, O human one, what is good, and what the Lord requires from you: to do justice, embrace faithful love, and walk humbly with your God. This is the word of the Lord. So God's priorities are clear. People matter to God. Not just the important people who generally get their own way, but also the underdogs, and especially those who have no standing in society. All people matter to God, and God calls us, his people, to love just as God loves. Once again this morning, I've included some teaching notes, and I would invite you to follow along as we go through this passage together. A couple of weeks ago, Katie Hammaker, who's a member of our church, emailed an article to me that she had seen in the Patriot News. And in sending it, Katie wrote that this article speaks volumes about the sad state of American society and the great need for us to be centered in Christ. And as I read this article, I totally agreed. The article features the work of the Dauphin County coroner, Graham Hetrick, who also has a television show. Mr. Hetrick likes to say that he speaks for the dead. But what the dead have been telling him lately, he says, has dark implications for our future. Boy, are we in big trouble, he says. He tells interns going through his county forensic facility, hold on to your hats, because you're about to see the demise of Western civilization. And then Hetrick pulls back the sheet, illuminating for his wide-eyed forensic students all the ways Americans are killing themselves. It's not just the drugs, the guns, the beatings and stabbings, though Hetrick sees more than his share of these. but it's the suicides, which have risen nearly a third in just the time that Hetrick has been the coroner. It's the type 2 diabetics, so morbidly obese that all of Hetrick's gurneys and cots have to support at least 500 pounds. It's the 20-something-year-old meth addict who, on his table, looks as if they are in their 60s. It's the young people with livers fatally shot through with fat. It's all the drunks, he says, whose thirst could only be quenched in death. Hetrick asks a compelling question. Why are the richest and freest people in all of history killing themselves and destroying themselves? Now, I have to say, I did not enjoy reading this article. And when we read an article like this, as followers of Jesus, we have to ask ourselves the question that God's people were asking long ago in Micah chapter 6. What does the Lord require of me? In the face of the world's great need, what can I, as a person of faith, do? And Micah gives us some guidance on this. According to Micah, what we can do, first of all, is to remember. God requires that we remember God's steadfast love toward us. You know, in Micah's time, there were a lot of really bad things going on as well. And there was no shortage of religious people. I mean, there were a lot of people going to church and practicing their religion, paying lip service to God on the Sabbath. But they had forgotten the things that are most important to God. And so God is calling them here in this passage to remember who He is and to remember who they are because of who God is. Listen to what God reminds them, beginning in verse 4. I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of slavery. I sent Moses, Aaron, and Miriam before you. In other words, this is a God who hears the cries of His people and rescues them from that which has enslaved them. And then he continues on, my people, remember what Moab's king Balak had planned and how Balaam, Beor's son, answered him. Now maybe you remember from a couple of weeks ago what Moab's king Balak had planned, the story about the talking donkey, and how Balak had asked Balaam, the soothsayer, to go and pronounce a curse on the people of Israel as they were making their way to the promised land, but how God redirected things so that instead of a curse, even using a talking donkey, God pronounced 3 blessings on His people. And then Micah says, remember everything from Shittim to Gilgal, that you might learn to recognize the righteous acts of the Lord. This is the God who parted the waters of the Jordan so that the Israelites could pass through safely from one side at Shittim to the other side at Gilgal into the land the Lord had promised them. This is the God who is filled with compassion and mercy. The God who persists in acting on behalf of His people in spite of their disobedience. In the face of the world's great need, God requires, first of all, that we remember. That we remember God's steadfast love toward us. Like the people who first heard these words from the prophet Micah, you and I have also been blessed with grace upon grace. And as we come to the Lord's table this morning and we break the bread and we bless the cup, we remember God's steadfast love toward us. I so appreciate the way the Apostle John so wonderfully describes God's steadfast love toward us. In 1 John chapter 4, well, let's read these two verses together. This is how the Lord God is revealed to us. God has sent His only Son into the world so that we can live through Him. This is love. It is not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent His Son as the sacrifice that deals with our sins. Last Sunday, Jenna taught our combined Sunday school in the multi-purpose room, and she invited us in our table groups to give some definitions in our own words of some theological terms. And the table group that I was at was given the word grace to define. I was sitting next to Mike Ogden from our church, and Mike looked at me and asked me, "Pastor Denny, what's your definition? I mean, you're probably an expert on grace, aren't you?" And Mike was right. I am an expert on grace because I've just messed up so many times. And God keeps loving me and keeps forgiving me and keeps giving me a fresh start. And I imagine that if you stop and think about it, you're an expert on grace too. Because as Micah reminds us, and as the Apostle John reminds us, God has lavished us, in spite of our weakness, with grace upon grace. And if God has loved us so much, the question is, how can we, in face of the world's great need, go on with business as usual? As we continue on in this passage, we see that God requires no more business as usual from God's people. Look again at verse 6. With what shall I approach the Lord and bow before God on high? You know, simply asking that question, God's people are already admitting that they have fallen far short of where God has called them to be. But rather than looking to change their behavior, they begin to focus on what kind of outward ritual they might perform in order to please God. Listen to the ridiculousness of what they're proposing. Should I come before Him with entirely burned offerings, with year-old calves? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with many torrents of oil? Should I give my oldest child for my crime, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my spirit? In other words, what payment will it take to get God off of our backs? Burnt offerings? Thousands of rams? Buckets of olive oil? How about the sacrifice of my firstborn child? Would that do it? Well, Micah isn't buying it. And he's saying, we can't just go to church Sunday morning and write a check and go on with business as usual. Verse 8, He has told you, human one, what is good. Everything in the Old Testament has given God's people the path of life. Micah stands in a line of prophets that have reminded the people over and over and over again what God requires of them. Micah is telling the Israelites much the same thing that Pastor Craig Groeschel told his congregation, he said, "We don't go to church. We are the church. And we exist for the world." Let's say that together. We don't go to church. We are the church. And we exist for the world. Now please notice, nowhere does Micah tell God's people to stop going to church. He doesn't tell them to stop praying or to stop studying the Word of God. He doesn't tell them to stop going to Sunday school and Bible studies. He doesn't tell them to stop giving their time, offering their talents, tithing their treasure. The problem is that God's people too often perform these outward acts and fail to recognize that God requires something more. God requires a change of heart and life so that God's priorities every day become our priorities. Let's read verse 8 together. This is our memory verse for this week. "He has told you, human one, what is good and what the Lord requires from you: to do justice, embrace faithful love, and walk humbly with your God." Why, there's a whole series of sermons in just that one verse. But let's stop briefly at these three critical things that God requires of us. To do justice. The Hebrew word is mishpat, which means that God calls us to act. Those of us who have influence are called to act in all the places where God calls us to be on behalf of the weak, the powerless, and the exploited. You know, we love to sing that hymn, "Amazing Grace." And many of you probably know the story about John Newton, who was captain of a slave ship, had a conversion to Christ, and went into ministry. But what we often are not aware of is that Newton had a tremendous influence on a young man by the name of William Wilberforce. And in the late 1700s, when Wilberforce was a teenager in England, English traders captured between 35,000 and 50,000 Africans a year. Between 35,000 and 50,000 a year, shipped them across the Atlantic and sold them into slavery in England. Well, as a young man, Wilberforce was elected to the British Parliament. And at that time, there was like no opposition to slavery. But he worked tirelessly his entire life, facing great opposition. And at last, near the end of his life, slavery was abolished in the British Empire. Actually, many decades before it was abolished here in the U.S. I was especially taken by something Wilberforce once said to the British Parliament. He said, "You may choose to look the other way, but you can never say again that you did not know." You may choose to look the other way in the face of the needs of the people around you, but you can never say again that you did not know. God calls us to do what is right, to do justice. And God also calls us to embrace faithful love. And the Hebrew word translated here as faithful love is hesed, which cannot be fully defined with English words because it's just such a big and powerful word describing God's mercy and God's compassion and God's kindness and God's steadfast love. Hesed is what we are called to embrace as well. I love the way the Old Testament scholar Amy Oden kind of sums up this passage. She says, rather than offer God thousands of rams, Micah calls us to offer 1,000 daily acts of love for each other and for the world God loves. Just imagine being so grateful for God's love for you in Jesus Christ that every day, all day long, you are offering hesed, thousands of acts of love to those God brings into your life. God requires justice and faithful love. And God also requires that we walk humbly with God. That word for walk is holic. And it gives us the sense that we are not alone as we walk in this world. That God is our companion as we seek to walk in obedience to God's way. Micah is saying here something like what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount with this verse that is very familiar to us. In fact, we even sang a song about it earlier. Instead, desire first and foremost God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This past week, I was a little early for an appointment, and the place I was supposed to meet friends was near an old used bookstore. And so I walked in there, and I picked up this book on the shelf, still trying to think about how can I end my sermon this Sunday. And I came across this story that there was a time when farmers in the Great Plains, at the first sign of a blizzard, would run a rope from the back door to the barn. Because they had all heard stories of people who had wandered off during the blizzard and had been frozen to death because they lost sight of home. And when the blizzard passed, they had never made it beyond their own backyard. And so they would hold on to this rope so that they could get safely from home to do the chores in the barn and back, even in the blizzard. You know, as Coroner Graham Hetrick has reminded us, there are a lot of people who have wandered off and have lost sight of home. So much senseless loss. But God has given us a rope to hold on to. And His name is Jesus. So my invitation to you as we receive this Holy Communion is to hold on to Jesus. We live in a world so badly in need of Jesus, whose steadfast love for everybody endures forever. Hold on to Jesus. No more business as usual for the church. We are the church and we exist for the world. Hold on to Jesus so that He can change your heart and your life. So that God's priorities will become your priorities. Hold on to Jesus. Do justice. Embrace faithful love. Walk humbly with your God. We cannot do it all, But each of us, God puts each of us in places where we can do something. God's priority is people. And God wants our priority to be people as well.